and it's story time.
So I'm about 6 years old, and I really want to tell a story. I have a story in my head.
This is Eliza Smith. And here's a story she told her mother.
So it's this group of people at this manor house in the middle of the English countryside. And it's totally dark at night. It's storming. They're having a great time. The fire's roaring. They're warm. They're cozy. And someone knocks at the door. And interrupts their conversation and their laughter. And everything gets really quiet because who could be coming to the door at this time of night? The host goes to the door and he opens it. And there's no one on the porch. The drive is totally empty. There's no carriage there. There's nothing. And he's about to shut the door. And he looks down at the ground. And at his feet, there's this small drawstring bag. And it's velvety purple with gold drawstrings. And he picks it up and he opens it. And inside, the bag is totally dark. And it's not just dark, it's like he's looking into a hole in the ground that goes on forever. It's like he's been locked inside of a bunker and there's no light and he can't see his hand in front of his face. It's a darkness that has infinite depth. And as he's staring into this bag, two eyes appear, glowing in the darkness. And then a set of glowing, sharp teeth also appears in this bag, and that's where the story ends.
That's where it ends?
That's where it ends. I, as a kid, I didn't really know how to, like, figure out, okay, rising tension, climax of the story, we need for it to end, but I remember my mom kind of looking at me like, hey, this is a cool scene. And she said, let's call it The Pouch. And so we called it The Pouch together.
Okay, The Pouch was Eliza Smith's first horror story, but definitely not the last. She's a big fan of slow footsteps, creaky doors, and curdling screams. It's hard to find a scary book she hasn't read or a movie she hasn't watched. So you might say horror consumes her life. Eliza would say horror saves it. And a word of caution, some content in this interview may be difficult for some listeners who struggle with mental illness.
I just felt this like insatiable need for fear. And it didn't really start making sense to me until I started having symptoms of anxiety after a really big trauma happened in my life when I was 16. Something clicked into place and it felt like I had created a therapeutic device for myself. Something a therapist of mine once said, you're adding tools to your toolkit to help you when you have a panic attack. It was almost like I'd been stockpiling all of these tools so that when it happened, I'd be ready to face it and I'd have the tools to face it.
Wow. Okay, I want to roll back just a little bit because, first of all, that's hard for me to understand. But yeah, let's go back. When was your first serious mental health episode?
So I know I had a panic attack or, you know, a handful of panic attacks in high school, but My first really bad one episode, I was in my sophomore year of university and I stopped sleeping. I couldn't get to sleep. I'd hit the pillow and my mind would just go 1,000 miles per hour. And then I started having what I didn't understand what they were, but every day I would feel like there was fire coursing through my veins all the time and my heart was going 1,000,000 miles a minute. And I felt like I was constantly in a cold sweat and I was terrified all the time.
So what does your fear feel like for you? And are there patterns to when and how it hits?
A panic attack usually starts with a thought for me. My breath starts to speed up. Then over the last few, I'd say in the last 10 years, I've started having what are called dissociative episodes. And so if my anxiety gets to a really bad place and I can't catch it and I can't go to the gym, for example, or do a meditation or pet my cat or hold my husband's hand, I will go into a dissociative state, which means that all of a sudden, I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know who's in the room with me. And I don't know if I'll ever be okay again. It's kind of like you're at the end of a long hallway, a really, 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 really dark hallway, and you're on one end, and you can see reality on the other end. It's like a little pinprick of light, but there's this huge space of darkness in between you and reality.
Thinking back to that story you wrote as a six-year-old, the pouch filled with endless darkness and the monster in there. Do you think that's your illness?
Yeah, I do. And I think that when I was a kid, I didn't know what it was. But I do remember as a child having days where I remember one day where I started crying and I couldn't stop. And I remember as a kid just having these extreme swells of emotion and not being able to really handle them and my parents not necessarily knowing what to do with them. And they only got worse as I got older. And so, yeah, I think my little brain was able to intuit somehow what was going to come.
So one of the items in that toolkit you've developed is horror movies, which just seems totally counterintuitive. Tell me how horror movies help. You actually watch them when you're having a panic attack?
Yes, 100%. So whenever I'm having a dissociative episode, one of the first things that Jacob is my husband, one of the first things that Jacob will do is say, okay, let's turn on the TV. We have this voice activated thing on our remote. And he says, show me free horror movies and we'll pick one and then we'll just put it on and I'll watch. And then basically what happens is I'll watch a horror movie and I'll be afraid. I do get really scared of horror movies and that's really important.
Why is that important?
Because the horror movie helps me simulate the fear that I'm feeling during my panic attack in a controlled environment. And the controlled environment is completely make-believe, right? The controlled environment is the plot of the movie and the supernatural entity that's attacking everybody. I only watch horror movies when I'm freaking out. I'll only watch horror movies that have a supernatural element so that it feels even more controlled because then it can't possibly be real. So basically, I go through and I experience these extreme swells of emotion while I'm watching the movie, and they match the feelings of anxiety that I'm having.
And why does that help?
Because it's cathartic. One of the things that I've learned from my therapist is that anxiety is basically a blanket that you throw over an emotion that you don't want to have. And so generally, if I start to have a panic attack, it's because there's an emotion that my body is kind of protecting me from. So I'll have a panic attack that will give me sort of like a huge distraction or the numbness that I need to take me away from feeling the actual emotion. Let's say it's sadness.
Mm-hmm.
But my therapist has always told me that the most important thing you can do is to feel a feeling instead of feel the anxiety, and really very, 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 very intensely. So if I watch a horror film, I'm able to feel those feelings, like fear, which is the pure anxiety. Once I feel the pure anxiety and I'm okay with it, then I can start to feel whatever emotion is underneath. And because I'm doing it in the context of a film, it feels a lot more manageable. It's this sort of safe space where I can feel the fear and keep going.
Wow. Can you give me an example? I mean, like, walk me through, was there a recent episode and what was the film you saw? And then what was the process as the film went along?
Recently, we went down to Los Angeles to do some work and to see family, and I always get a little anxious around big family trips. I think everybody does, even though I have a really great, awesome relationship with my dad and my stepmom. It was just going to be a really busy weekend, and I could feel my anxiety start to creep up. So on our first night, we decided that instead of staying home, we would go out and we would see It Chapter 2. And what I love about the current It franchise is that it's like a roller coaster ride through every disgusting image you could ever possibly want, all rolled into one. It's not super scary, but it's really fast-paced, and it's really, really gross, and it's really, really visceral. So we went to the Arclight in Culver City, and we were just sitting there, you know, front row, having so much fun. It was like you went up the lift hill, and then it dropped you, and we were going through. And by the end of it, I was able to say, hey, I feel so much better. I'm totally ready to tackle this week. Let's do it. It was like going to a yoga class, but 10 times better, because I had this sort of endorphin high afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah. I like things that make my heart race, because my heart's always racing.
Eliza Smith is the CEO and co-founder of Cosmic Standard, a podcast company. She also has a new podcast in the works based on fear.